Good afternoon, everyone. I'd love to call to order the January 8, 2024 Desert Community Energy Board of Directors meeting. First order of business is roll call.
City of Palm Desert?
Present.
City of Palm Springs?
Present.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Are there any modifications to the agenda?
Chair Middleton, no, thank you. No modifications to the agenda for this afternoon's meeting.
All right, thank you. Next order of business is public comments. We have two that I have received so far. The first comes from Mr. Donald Ziegler. Come on up, sir. You have 3 minutes.
That's the same. I'm not very good at public speaking, so please bear with us. Good afternoon. My name is Donald Ziegler. I'm retired and a year-round resident of Palm Desert. I wish to address my comments to item 7A on today's agenda. I'm not a lawyer and not sure if my concerns are valid. Please hear me out. I've had an ongoing interaction with the city of Palm Desert about my concerns regarding the danger of a sustained power outage in our city and valley during the summer. I think this is of special relevance to us in the Coachella Valley, as we live in one of the hottest places on earth during the summer. It doesn't take much imagination to picture the situation if power unexpectedly goes out in our valley on a 120-degree day, and no one knows when it will come back on. Scientists have said the most likely cause of a mass catastrophe event as the climate warms would be a power outage during the eagle. There's also a growing understanding the best way to avoid such a disaster is the creation of microgrids. It can generate, store, and distribute reliable electricity to local customers. This would eliminate the risk of large area extended outages that could affect millions of people because of one point of failure. I believe this committee should urgently explore microgrids for power provision in our valley. Which leads me to item 7A on the agenda. It appears to me that it increases the financial obligation of the city of Palm Springs for the provision of electricity to the city. I know there's an alphabet soup of organizations that the money flows through, but it all starts with the city. So my question regarding this item is whether it obligates the city more directly to ensure that the power it provides is reliable and ultimately safe. Utilities are more and more facing lawsuits because of unsafe power distribution. I believe PG&E even had to declare bankruptcy over this. I would ask the lawyers whether Palm Springs would face financial liability if the power it provides fails during the heat wave and thousands of people end up in the hospital or even die as a result. What is the legal obligation that is faced if, knowing that the risk of a power outage and the summer heat wave exists, the city as a power provider hasn't done all it can to mitigate that risk? I believe last meeting you had a representative from the CCA tell you that they do not know where the 7 gigawatts of power needed over the next few years will come from. A few weeks ago, I heard a representative from SoCal Edison address Palm Desert City Council and say that they will have a hard time finding the power sources and building the infrastructure that we'll need in the coming years. My suggestion to this committee is that the current power distribution model is breaking and that our desert communities should take a leadership role in creating a new, sustainable, and reliable model for power based on microgrid technology. Our lives might depend on it.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Are there any other public comments on agenda items? And we will get to public comment on non-agenda items towards the
chair. We do have a raised hand. We're from Rosario.
Great.
Lila? Jeez, come in. Rosario, you should be able to.
Hi. Yes. Hi, Rosario Avila. I'm just doing a public comment on item 7A regarding what the Palm Springs City Council approved on the consent agenda in their December meeting. My question is, did they also review it at the city council level and discussion, or what did it go straight onto the consent agenda only? Just wondering if there is a previous city council meeting where all 5 city council members had a chance to discuss it or ask questions, or if this item just solely went onto their consent agenda and then they voted to approve it. Thank you very much.
Sorry, but public comment is an opportunity to for you to provide comments. We're not in a position to be able to answer questions, but if you will leave your contact information with staff, someone will return a phone call to you. Are there any public comments on agenda items? Seeing none, we will move on to board member and executive director comments. Any comments from the board? No. Mr. Friedman.
Thank you, Chair Middleton. Good afternoon, Chair Middleton, Vice Chair Chavez, DC Program Manager David Friedman on behalf of Executive Director Mel Kirk. And as noted in your agenda, there is no board meeting next month, and our next meeting will be held on Monday, March 18 at 3 p.m. here in the large conference room. And if staff determines that an April meeting is necessary, we'll reschedule it to avoid Chair Middleton's commitments in Sacramento the week of April 15th. And that concludes my remarks on Tom's behalf. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Next item is consent calendar. Is there a motion to approve the consent calendar?
Move approval.
Second, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? We'll now move on to item 7A, contract amendments with the Energy Authority. Mr. Friedman.
Thank you, Chair Middleton. This agenda item concerns amendments to DC's contracts with the Energy Authority, or T, DC's power procurement consultant. And it's the second step in the process that began at the November board meeting when you provided direction to formally ask the City of Palm Springs to issue a guarantee of DC's power procurement obligations to T. Now, there are two agreements with proposed amendments before you this afternoon. The first is the Resource Management Agreement, or RMA, and that is the framework agreement that establishes the relationship between T and DCE. It was signed in January 2018, shortly after the formation of DCE in the fall of 2017, and it expires on January 22nd, 2024, 2 weeks from today. And the next is task order 2, and that's the agreement that sets out the core services that T is providing to DCE, including power procurement. And task order 2 includes the credit solution from T's equity owners that expired on December 29th, 2023, just before the day. Now, the proposed agreements before you are as follows. First of all, DCE is to acquire, provide credit support for T services. That's in task order number 2 amendments. Now that requirement is now satisfied by the guarantee from the City of Palm Springs for an amount not to exceed $25 million. That guarantee was approved by City Council at its December 14th meeting, and it's effective on December 29, 2023, simultaneous with the expiration of the credit support provided by T's equity owners. Now, one of the advantages of this amendment, under the previous situation with the credit support, T had a lien on DCE's reserves. That lien is now removed, security interest, so DCE has full control over its reserve accounts as part of the amendment. There are some conforming amendments to the payment provisions, and they have been reviewed by Finance Director Claude Couture. And finally, the RMA is extended for another 3 full years to January 22, 2027. Now, one of the best advantages of this amendment and the guarantee that's provided by the City of Palm Springs, it will save the DC customers approximately $400,000 per year, and that's based on the fee of $1 per megawatt that T was providing, was charging to DCE before. So roughly load factor of 400,000 megawatt hours and savings of $400,000 per year. Now, this money can be used for, these savings can be used for rate stabilization, for customer programs and incentives, all in accordance with the financial reserve policy that the board approved at the June 2023 meeting. And there's no change to to the monthly tea service fees to roughly $57,000 per year, and staff has confirmed that those fees are in line with market conditions. Now, accordingly, staff's recommendation is to authorize the executive director to negotiate and execute amendments to the resource management agreement and task order 2 with the Energy Authority, Inc., extending the term until January 22, 2027, and replacing the credit solution with the credit solution provided by the guarantee provided by the City of Palm Springs. And that concludes my staff report, and I'm available for any questions you may have. And also Jacqueline Haar of the Energy Authority is on standby as well.
Very good. Questions?
Just really quick, what the $400,000 saving, what's the average cost for a customer?
DC's budget for the year, for the fiscal year, is roughly in the $65 million range. So if you do the math, we're talking about maybe, you know, a couple dollars per customer. I'd have to do the math, but basically we have 30,000 customers roughly. So we're talking about, you know, $10 or so per customer, roughly $10 per customer, let's say, or a dollar a month, let's say.
Thank you.
Great. Any other questions? All right. Is there a motion to approve? Second. All in favor, please say aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Item 7A is passed, and my thanks to staff for the outstanding work that went into this.
Thank you, Chair.
All right. Item 7B is an update on the enterprise resource planning system selection, and for that, Mr. McMillan.
Chair Mosen and Vice Chair Chavez, good afternoon. I'm Alan McMillan, Senior Contracts Analyst and CBAG Procurement Manager for the ERP System Implementation Project. DCE contracts with CBAG to provide staffing and administrative support. This year, both agencies are making significant investments to acquire, replace, and upgrade their existing financial systems with a new Enterprise Resource Planning ERP system. The ERP system is an agency-wide system that helps to automate and manage business processes across finance, HR, and general operations. This is an important and critical project, but perhaps more significant, it will be transformative as CBAG and DCE seek to replace their antiquated and inefficient financial systems, DCE currently uses QuickBooks, with modern and integrated ERP applications that will provide benefits for years to come. Okay. Through a formal solicitation process conducted in April of 2023, CBAG selected Barry Dunn, a management and IT consulting firm, to assist and guide CBAG through the phase one ERP system implementation project. Barry Dunn has a focus exclusively with local government. It helps agencies with their ERP initiatives and system selection. With us today is Michelle Riazzi. She's at remote, and she will be providing us an update on the ERP system solution.
Thank you. Chair, before we turn this over to Michelle, just a little bit of context. Because of the staffing arrangements, our CVCC Finance Committee received this presentation and found it informative as the rollout happens. And certainly CVAC's Finance Committee is going to be instrumental in choosing and helping us select an ERP the ERP system ultimately, and I'm sure our chair is really excited that he signed up for 7 hours of ERP review. But because of the DCE board size and not having a finance committee, we wanted to just present it to the board directly so you guys had some context about this big change that's coming up. So with that, Michelle.
Thank you very much. My name is Michelle Riazzi. I am the consultant with Barry Dunn. I'm the day-to-day project manager for the ERP selection. And I do have extensive ERP experience. I've been a client, a software vendor, as well as now the consultant. I don't see control for the presentation or the actual presentation on my screen. So I apologize. I don't see our presentation, I should say. There we go. Sorry about that. Still not seeing arrows. There we go. So Barry Dunn has a bridge program. We work with software providers that allows our consultants to stay informed of the latest software, new technology, and any emerging trends that the marketplace has. And that just better assists us to advise DCE and CVAG on any new technologies again. So the selection process, phase 1.0, Barry Dunn and CVAG completed project planning in June. Project management's been ongoing. Phase 1.1, we held a fact-finding session. We discussed agency needs and performed a gap analysis, which we delivered in October. From there, we did the RFP development with the agency team, worked to identify the RFP requirements based on the needs assessment and gap analysis. The proposals were received from the vendors on October 31st, and we are currently, Barry Dunn is currently assisting the evaluation committee through the vendor selection process. So that's ongoing at this time. So next is the contract negotiation after that vendor selection process is complete. And then what we'll do then is we'll help with the language in the contract as far as key deliverables, retainage, payment milestones, system acceptance criteria, and then system support expectations post go live. And then the approval will happen. That will go to the CVAG board around the end of May, beginning of June. That'll be the final approval. And then after that will be implementation, and that'll be fiscal year 2024-2025. And that will be just between CVAG, DCE, CVCC, and the vendor that's chosen, and that will depend on the negotiation. The RFP scope, you see all the financial pieces that were involved in that, the HCM pieces, and then current technical environment, as well as the RFP planning. So as Alan had mentioned, one of the major advantages is going to be getting out of QuickBooks, increasing those efficiencies with real-time data, having more robust capabilities, moving away from manual processes. Having this integrated system is going to increase reporting functionality and as well as accuracy. So we had three qualified proposals and one disqualified as non-responsive proposal. So the qualified proposals were Oracle NetSuite, Tyler Technologies, and Timus, which was Exelor, sorry. So those are who we're evaluating right now. So currently, these next steps are the shortlist, which is evaluating the proposals submitted by the vendors. And then we choose the shortlist, and that's who's going to perform those demonstrations. We're also working on the demonstration scripts that will have the software. After that, the demonstrations will take place, and that those will be reviewed and scored. That'll be 2 weeks during the first 2 weeks in February. That'll be the evaluation committee. They're the same committee all the way through from the proposals all the way through the vendor checks so that there's consistency. Those reference checks will take place. That information will be scored as well and added to those scores all the way through the process. Then we come up with the staff recommended vendor. From there, that contract is negotiated, as I mentioned previously. And from that goes to the CVAG committee for board approval. Any questions? That's pretty quick.
What is the timeline on the application? When do you intend to apply?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
When do you intend to apply?
That will depend on the implementation timeframe.
We haven't intended an implementation timeline then?
Well, if you ask Claude, it was probably 2 years ago. It'll be as soon as possible. The vendors, the three vendors that are under proposal, have talked anywhere from about a 7-month to a 24-month rollout, phasing in the finance and HR aspects. Our anticipation would be if we inked a contract, if it went to exec and it was approved in early June, we'd probably be starting right after General Assembly. So July 1st would be our first start. Was this.
Very good.
Any other questions? This is an information item, so we do not have to take any vote on that. Next, we have item 7C, the Carbon Free Business Recognition Program. Jamal?
Hello. I have the super fun one this night. So this is the Carbon Free Business Recognition Program. This idea was started last year. DCE's team worked with Bergrick's Communications, and now it's finally ready to roll out.
To the middle one?
So practice. Okay, great. Okay, so the name says it all. This program is to recognize businesses that are enrolled in DCE's Carbon Free Program. DCE wants to celebrate its businesses for prioritizing the environment and going green for energy use. And the first three videos, as you can see, are completed and ready to go. It's going to be Big Wheel Tours, the Avalon Hotel, and both the Cowan and Show Bar. And this lovely video of Chair Middleton will be featured on DCE's webpage, and it's going to be encouraging businesses to go green and giving them the opportunity to enroll in the business recognition program if they would like. And DCE is going to help celebrate its local businesses by promoting videos of each business on social media for 1 month. And it's going to encourage other businesses to go for free as well. So the promotion, the reason we're doing it at this time of the year is it's going to happen during a peak tourism time in the valley. So we're hopefully going to drive customers to go to these businesses. It'll be local, supporting local. And each video highlights the importance of going green and why being a great business, DC, and so forth.
All right. Do you have any questions? And thank you for this. I think it is going to be a very positive step forward, and it's always good to be saying thank you to those folks around us. Thank you.
And certainly if there are other carbon-free businesses out there that want to be participating, we're happy to talk to them.
Absolutely. Thank you. Next item is an information item. That's the attendance record, which is in the book. We have other financial reports and all like that are in our agenda. So are there any questions on any of those? All right, so those are again information items. That brings us to agenda item 9, public comments on non-agenda items. We have one request, and that's Ms. Janice.
We're there. Thank you.
Thanks.
Go ahead, 3 minutes.
Okay. Thank you.
2 minutes, excuse me.
Ah, you said 3 minutes. My name's Brad Anderson. I currently live. Brad Anderson, currently living in the city of Rancho Morado. I just wanted to spend a little bit of time speaking to you today. I guess we've been around for the beginning of this organization for a time, but I am very, very concerned about the leadership of having just two representatives, I guess. It's almost like it's a dictatorship, really. One person doesn't show up. So I know the ins and outs of really going, but I think you should really pursue not doing this anymore and bringing it on the whole city council, whatever you have to do. Yeah, just like Middleton was going to go some, or anyway, you're going to have a canceled meeting where you probably wouldn't have to do that if you had at least 5 people on this board. And even if my petition, my grand jury looked into this, sure they would and recommend that you do that too. So I would highly recommend that you do that before I have to do anything. Because I don't think people from this organization would appreciate how this being operated for the only one, really one full person. So then just to recap on the last meeting that I'm sure you're aware of, I guess adjourned the meeting without the public being informed or being that's a violation of Brown Act. So maybe we'll go ahead and wait around and see if you do it again. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Anderson. That brings us to agenda item 10, announcements. Are there any announcements? We have one, that the next meeting will be held on March 18, 2024, 3 p.m. right here. So, Ms. Freeman, we have heard at different times many comments regarding potential of microgrids that Mr. Ziegler brought up. And I would appreciate at some point in time if staff could come back to us and give us a quick overview and evaluation of microgrids and what the experience that any other CCA may have had in trying to help to move that technology forward.
Thank you, Chairman. We can work on that and we're closely following microgrids proceeding at the California Public Utilities Commission.
Good. Thank you. Any other? All right. For that, we are going to adjourn into a closed session and we'll reconvene into open session after the closed session is completed for a report up from closed session. And I believe we're going to adjourn closed session into the small conference room next door. Those of you who would like to remain here may do so.
Clarify the closed session will be on the closed session items on the closed session agenda.
Also, in thank you. Call the meeting back to order of open session. And with that, I'd like to call on our attorney to provide a report of the closed session.
Thank you, Chair Middleton. Ryan Barron on behalf of DCE. On December 20th, 2023 and January 3rd, 2024, Desert Community Energy received citations from the California Public Utilities Commission in a total amount of $275,457.60 for certain resource adequacy deficiencies related to DCE's August and September 2023 month-ahead resource adequacy filings. I would report out that the board has voted unanimously to direct DCE staff and its legal counsel to appeal those citations with the CPUC Enforcement Division. And that concludes my report out. Thank you.
Questions? Then we will stand adjourned until March 18, 2024. Thank you.